Our reading will be taken from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine.'" Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by one hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab him by one hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. And say, "Neighbor, the value of the promises." Neighbor, the value of the promises. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "The Value of the Promises." 2 weeks ago, we preached about "He Made Promises to Me." And that was taken from Acts chapter number 1. Today, we are seeing the value of a promise. But I didn't want to just make it singular, because in all actuality, it's truly plural. But as we look here at this particular scripture, the thing that is truly amazing, and if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Because when you go back and read Acts chapter 1, you see after the promise was made that they continuously came together and they prayed. And they understood that they needed to be on one accord. But there's something about what has happened here in chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost. The Pentecost was the Jewish celebration of when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and shared the law with them. And every year they would come and celebrate Moses sharing the law with the Jews. So it was truly a high day, because on that day they realized that God had gave them structure. And now on the day of Pentecost had come. There's something I want us to see in verse number 1 that is significant. And I'll read the whole verse again. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in..." But it's not just the one place. But the key is that they were all together. Which means is that they came to not just gather together, but they were all together in the singular thought or waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. Which means that when they came to that place, they individually had to come and believe God was going to fulfill the promise. And I know that times before this, they came together and assembled and they prayed. And as they assembled and they prayed, the Spirit hadn't come. But I want you to know that Deacon Jones, it might not come when you want. But God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And when God does it, it's going to be right on time. And what has happened is that what the Lord wanted to ensure was that everybody was coming and they were what? All together. You see, I want us to realize and understand something about being all together. You see, we can all be in one place, but we ain't all. You see, because if we're, like right now, we're all in. But the reality is, are we all? Now the thing is, I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I got going on. You don't know. I don't know what you got going on. But the one thing that we all should have going on, his name is. And if we all got Jesus going on in our lives, no matter what's going on, we realize that we are here and we are all together because we're all assembled to give the Lord the glory, the honor, and the praise. And whenever we come in God's house, I want you to understand something. Catch this. When we come in God's house and we worship in two ways and for two reasons. We worship and praise God for the promises that we receive. Yeah. We worship and praise God on the promises we're waiting on. I'm going to let that sink in. When we're here, we've received promises. And we're waiting on promises. And we know who made the promise. And the one who made the promise is faithful and trustworthy. The one that made the promise will not ever not honor what he said. And that's why when we come together in this place, we can all be together. Because we understand the one whom we put our trust in. He has not failed us yet. He will not fail us. And he will be there with us through thick and through thin. Some folk will kick you to the curb. But I want you to understand the Lord ain't going to ever kick you to the curb. Because if he was going to kick up to the curb, that means Jesus never would have come. So, they were all together in one place. Check this out. Then suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind. Isn't that what it says? And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. It filled the house, y'all. I want you to see something. The house didn't get filled until they were all together in. Oh, somebody, I see y'all getting nervous because y'all don't know where I'm going with this. Y'all don't know whether or not to get a little loud and agree with it. Sister Davis, they don't know what I'm about to say or how I'm going to say it. So they just got to just try to hold back for a second. You see, I want us to realize and to recognize if you truly want to see the movement of God in this place amongst these people who is us, we have to realize that we are here and we are all together to praise the Lord, trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord, look to the Lord, walk in faith and believe in what God has said. And as we do that, we are what? All together and we are in what? One place. Now the Lord recognizes that we are all together in one place. Now the Lord's going to do what the Lord said he's going to do. He's going to bless us. He's going to fill the house with his Spirit. The Lord will do great things, but in order for him to do great things, it's left up to us individually and collectively to make a decision to come here for the sole purpose of lifting up the name of Jesus, praising the Father, thanking him for all he's done, all he is doing. I know somebody in here might have plucked your nerve. I know somebody in here might have whispered some stuff about you, but don't you dare allow yourself to get distracted. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I ain't gonna be distracted. You see, I want you to understand all the enemy wants is for you to be distracted. Because if you're distracted, that means we're in one place, but we're not what? All together. But I'm here to tell you today, we got to be all together. So whatever has been plucking your nerve, it's time for you to push it aside. It's time for you to look to the one who can and will do great things. Because hadn't the Lord already done great things for us? Hadn't the Lord brought us through this? Hadn't the Lord brought us through that? So why in the world are we going to allow anything to distract us right now? I want us all to give God our undivided You see, through them giving the Lord their undivided attention, it allowed the Lord to do what he said he was going to do. Because they wouldn't allow themselves to be distracted. Even if the enemies were outside, they were not going to allow themselves to be distracted. Because you know why? They realized, David, who brought them this far. They realized who had brought, made a way out of no way. They realized that the Lord is the one who has been keeping them all this time. So why in the world are you going to allow any kind of thing to come in your life that's going to distract you from the one that's brought you this far? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you and I to understand that there's always going to be distractions all around us, but we all got to make a decision to keep our eye on the Lord. And as we keep our eye on the Lord, then we walk in the way the Lord is having us to walk. We talk in the manner the Lord will have us to talk. We do as the Lord would have us to do. And I want you to know that the Lord will do great things in those who are willing to come together, because I ain't going to allow any kind of mess to take my attention away from my blessings. And I thank God that the Lord Jesus is our blessing. And since he's a blessing for us, he wants to be a blessing for us 24/7. So it's left up to us to give him our undivided attention. I don't care what comes from the left. I don't care what comes from the right. I'm going to keep my eye on the Lord. I'm going to keep my hand in God's unchanging hand. Anybody in here understand what I'm talking about? Anybody in here realizes the value of promises? And when you do, you ain't going to let nothing turn you around, because I know how good my God has been. I know where he brought me from. I know where he's taken me. Why? Because I value the promises that he has made to me. But look, y'all, look. Come on, go with me. We ain't going to be long. The thing that has happened, the room was filled. And as the room was filled, it says like divided tongues as a fire appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them. Check this out. A few of them. Huh? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe I made it wrong. Most of them. Brother Jack, I'm going to get it right this time, I think. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. You see, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one who's coming, whose sandals I'm unable to untie, who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you lit? Ms. Chavis, I'm going to elaborate. I don't want nobody to get no wrong idea. Are you on fire for Jesus? Because when you allow things to distract you, the fire that's in you begins to. And if you ain't careful with all the distractions, it will cause your fire it cause your fire to go out? So that's why we ask the question. Are you lit? And if you are lit, is your fire burning hot? Is it hot enough that folk can see the hamburger's color of the heat of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you? Because you recognize it's not because I'm all that. It's because of the God who I serve, who is. Oh, somebody working with me. And since we understand something, what we have to look at is God always has a purpose for everything he does. He's having them to be able to speak in languages that's not their own. It would be like the Spirit would hit me and have me to speak in Vietnamese, where Ian and Sal wouldn't have to just hold on to every word. Because me speaking in Vietnamese would allow them to hear it and hear it clearly. And if there were any folk in here who were Latino, who spoke Spanish, it would allow me to speak Spanish so they could hear it clearly in their native tongue. And for those that major in Ebonics, I'm sorry, I just had to mess with you. But if you majored in Ebonics and only stood things best in Ebonics, the Lord would allow the language to be spoken in Ebonics. So what am I saying? Is that the Spirit will give us the gifts to do what we need to do when we need to do it. And what we have to understand, that the power of God is so phenomenal that God will always do the unspeakable. God will be able to take something what others want to throw away and use it for a mighty thing. And if you don't believe me, keep on going with me in the scripture. I'm going to show you something. You see, because of the fact that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were on fire for the Lord. They were speaking in so many different languages for all those who were now dwelling in Jerusalem, who did not, which we see Hebrew was in their native tongue. But they heard everything in their own language. You see, the one thing about our God, look at your neighbor, say neighbor. God will make it clear. You see, I want you to understand the Lord don't want you leaving saying, I thought he meant. No. The Lord's going to make it. You see, I thank God that he makes it. Because the clearer God makes it, then guess what? It's now left up to me to follow the clarity in which God has given to me. So I move in the direction God is taking me. Because you know how some folk try to give you directions? They tell you, well, I think you go up maybe 2 or 3 blocks. And then you go maybe right. And maybe go about another 2 or 3 miles. And then you go left. Those are clear directions. But I thank God that everything that God does, it is what? Clear. Clear, direct, and to the point. And what we're seeing here is that God wanted to make sure that all the devout Jews that were there in Jerusalem would hear the word of God clearly in the language that was there, what they would call their mother tongue. The language that they grew up speaking was how they were going to hear the word of God. Why? Because at that point, they would not get it. You see, God doesn't want us to twist the word of God. He wants to make sure that the word of God is shared what? Clearly, so that folk can be impacted and know why I'm shouting, because I need to know why I'm serving. I need to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And in order to understand that, I got to have a clear understanding of what thus saith the Lord. And what we're seeing here is something that is happening. What we're seeing happening up in here right now, Brother Red, is that the Lord shows them the value of the promise. You see, the Lord just doesn't make a promise to us so that he can bless us to pat ourselves on the back. The Lord makes promises to us which are for us and for those whom we come in contact with. So if you ever think that God just wants to say you are his favorite, and nobody else is, you're fooling yourself. Just as Deacon Wiley stood up here today and said, today with me is my favorite. Now, I know you got some other nieces, don't you? That's right. Now, if they was here, you know what he would say about them? See? She said, no, he wouldn't. But let me get deeper with you. God has told all of us we're his favorite. You know how he told us all we were his favorite? Because when Jesus stretched his arms wide and hung and died on that cross, took your sins to the cross to allow you to have an opportunity to be set free. You see, before I can tell you that you're God's favorite, I got to know I'm also God's. And I realize that God is big enough to allow me and to allow you to also be his. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we understand that all of us up in here are God's, that means that the Lord has made some promises to us, and it's left up to us to value the promises that he's made. And that's how come when we come up in God's house, we ain't got to wait for somebody to say it's time to shout, it's time to praise. I come in here excited because I'm one of God's favorites. He's made me some promises, and I know I've already received some promises. That's why when I come up in this place, I will never sit down and shut up, but I got to give him the glory. I got to give him the praise because he's worthy of it all, because I value his promises. And as he blessed me with his promises, he's going to use me to bless somebody else. But hold on. But hold on. Hold on. Here we see something that can become an obstacle. Because when you get to verse number 7, it tells us how they were amazed and astonished. They ask, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And we're hearing all this in our own language. When you read the Bible, you will see, it will say at one point, can anything good come out of Galilee? Can anything good come out of Orange, New Jersey? Can anything good come out of Stony Brook? Can anything good come out of Amelia County? Can anything good come out of East Orange, New Jersey? Check this out. If your area that you're from ain't known for much of nothing, then that means that some folk look at you and think you ain't much of nothing. If some folk know your family history and have looked at your family and have called them a whole bunch of sorry so-and-sos, and then when they ask you who your family, and you give them an answer, then you know what they do? When you get folk an answer, they go, What they are saying is, can anything good here lies the problem, Nicole. The problem is we are not to be defined by where we have come from. That might have been true at one time or another. Even if you grew up in Church Hill, Gilpin Court, Essex Village. Help me now, help me, help me. Huh? Jackson Ward, Hillside. There, that too. Blackwell, there, I got one more, got one more. But what am I saying? If you allow where you grew up to define you in the way that others view you, but you know the beauty of Jesus. I don't care what the upbringing was like. I don't care how toe up from the floor you were. Once you have been anointed and filled with God's Holy Spirit, I want you to know, no matter how they might have wanted to define you, I want you to know God has redefined you. He has said that you are a vessel that he can work with and work through. So don't you dare allow your yesterday to define your today. Because now that you have been anointed and filled with God's Holy Spirit, Barbara, you have been you've been redefined, my brothers and sisters. The problem is this. Excuse me. Those who were there, devout Jews who lived in Jerusalem, they all knew about them folk over in Galilee. They knew it wasn't nothing really worth going up to Galilee for unless you need somebody to make you a yoke or do some carpentry work. But wasn't nothing coming out of there that was going to be phenomenal. Or even out of Keysville. You might be able to cut pulp wood real good, but that's all you good folk. And if folk have defined you and pigeonholed you, when you step outside the box of how they have defined you, they're going to wonder, how did this happen? And what we have to be willing to let folk know, you know how it happened? His name is Jesus. And he has filled me with his And I want you to know, no matter how you have defined me, the Lord has redefined me, because we were all together. I value the promises, and look at what the Lord has done. Do I got anybody in here today that understands that the Lord has redefined you? The Lord has turned you around. The Lord is doing the impossible through you. Somebody ought to go on and give God some praise, because others thought it couldn't happen, but the Lord said, yes, it can. I'm here to tell you today, I want you to know, when you have been anointed with God's Holy Spirit, there's nothing that can hold you back. You are a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do I got anybody who was willing to walk in that newness? Do I got anybody who wants to praise God? Because you know, it was nobody but Jesus who has done what has happened in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done and all you do. I'm almost done, y'all. Keep working with me. Almost there. Almost there. You see, what the Holy Spirit does is what we can't do for ourselves. The Lord understands our limitations. The Lord understands that in order for us to be about his heavenly business, we have to have a heavenly host. If we're going to be about God's heavenly business, we have to have a heavenly host. I thought I was going to be able to move on. I might have to preach there for 3 minutes. The Father sent the Son to get us prepared for the Comforter the helper, the son, was going to send. Because the son realized that in the flesh, he only could have, he had limitations on where he could be. He couldn't be everywhere all at the same time in the flesh. So that's why he equipped the 12. Well, it ended up being 11, and then they added another to make 12. But in that house where they were, there was 120 there with them, which is already showing us that God was already multiplying at the very beginning. Yeah. And as God was multiplying, when the son went back, that's when the work really was going to begin. Yeah. Because the son knew that when he dispersed the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit would be able to go everywhere and be everywhere all at the same time. You see, that's why we are able to do what we're able to do, because we have been filled with a heavenly host. And the heavenly host we've been filled with is the Holy Spirit. Somebody working with me now? Is it making sense now? And now that you understand that you got a heavenly host, the whole purpose of that heavenly host is to work in you and through you. And when you look at verse number 11, it says, and the Cretans, Arabs, and all in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Do you understand that our God is powerful? Do you understand that our God has the ability to do the impossible? Do you realize the Lord is able to do what others think he can't do? When we put our trust in God, I want you to know there is no limit on how far God will take us and how the Lord is going to bless us. And what has happened here is this. There are always going to be some folk who are going to be excited because they're hearing the power of God and they're moved by the power of God. And we're seeing that they are about to get lit. But anytime folk are about to get lit, there's always somebody there who's going to try to throw some water on it before it can get lit. Oh, you don't believe me. Look at this last verse. Look at verses 12 and 13. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others. See that but? But is letting us know that we're getting ready to what? Turn the corner. We ain't going the same direction. We're getting ready to turn the corner. But others sneered and said, they filled with wine. They drunk. Ain't what it said, David? They drunk. That is always somebody who is trying to pour water on the fire. And they feel that if they douse it good enough, that I'll stop it from ever getting lit. Do you see it? But when you go further, and when you get a chance, go on and read the rest of chapter 2. Because Peter stands up and say, y'all, I want y'all to know, these brothers ain't drunk. It's just 9 in the morning. Somebody see, somebody laugh like, some folk get drunk before when they first wake up in the morning. But some folk, David said, some folk wake up drunk. They said, let me get a little extra in so when I wake up, I'm still got my buzz on. But what Peter is saying, that now this ain't the custom. And then on top of that, how drunk folk gonna talk in a language that you can hear? And you are hearing it clear and precise. I don't know about you, but you ever talk to any drunk folk? I'm talking about true drunk folk. And they were able to be as articulate as you are. Their words was slurring, mispronouncing words and sentences ain't making sense. You see, now, it almost sounds ludicrous. Ooh, a big word. For them to even consider that they are drunk. But I want you to understand something. The enemy will use whatever he can to get us distracted from the truth. Because the enemy doesn't want us to be set free, because whom the Son sets free is what? Free. And I want you to understand that the enemy wants us to be bound by sin. Yeah. But I want you and I to understand today that We value the promises. And since we value the promises, we have received the promises. And there's other promises that are already on their way. And we are going to continue to move forward. And as the Lord blesses us, and since our fire is burning hot, wherever we go, we are radiating the goodness of the Lord. And we're going to share the gospel with other folk so that they can also receive the promises. Because we want them to know what we've come to know, that there's none like our God. And since the Lord has blessed us, I want you to be just as blessed as I am. You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know the Lord got enough for you and everybody else around you? I am so excited that the Lord doesn't put limits on our blessings. I'm so excited that the Lord has enough to take care of the whole world and then some. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to value the promises, share the promises, live the promises, walk in the promises, talk in the promises, because we understand that we are where we are, and it was nobody but Jesus that brought us this far, and it's only Jesus that will take us all the way. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we continue to move forward in what God is doing and will do in our lives, I want you to know what God is going to do here at Broad Rock Baptist Church is truly going to be phenomenal, and it's only because we are going to be all together. So, the value of the promises, it's there. It's for us. But it's left up to us to individually do our part. I can't make you love Jesus. Just like I can't make you love me. If we're all here loving Jesus, if we're all here moving according to his will and his way, individually, then collectively, what God is going to do among us is going to be phenomenal. Because you can't make me, and I can't make you. We have to want to do it because we recognize the benefit, the value of what we do. And as we do, the Lord will do the amazing thing. And as that happens, I want you to be on guard. There's always going to be somebody who's going to look at you and say, "Child, I remember you, and I remember what you did. I remember what you was." And you can tell them, you can talk to the hand. And if you don't want to talk to the hand, you can go to the hell where that stuff is. But that ain't who I am anymore. Yes, I've been washed in the blood. I've been healed, delivered, and set free. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's like fire shut up in my bones that I can't keep it to myself. I don't want to keep it to myself, but I got to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Do I got anybody in here right now who don't mind giving God some praise right now? Because you know the promises. You know the blessings. You know where he brought you from. I ain't going backwards. I'm going forward. Thank you, Jesus.